So how did the idea for this book come along? I talked to Lawrence, and he said that other people had approached you over the years. So what made you decide to kind of just settle down and work on this project with Lawrence Spagnuolo?
Well, for one, I wasn't able to do it until I started working with Dr. Drew, you know, from the Celebrity Rehab and the Sober House. I was able to heal myself and heal my body and my mind to where I was capable of doing that, of doing a book. And I realized after I started, my brain and body started healing, I needed to do it for my emotions. And to get my story out, and just everything that has happened to me that was holding me back like an anchor, a giant anchor was holding me back in life. And even like in the beginning, when I talk about the sexual abuse I went through, you know, when I was 11, 12 years old, and I thought if I said that out loud and other people's ears heard that they would think bad of me, and I personally would feel worse. But it was the complete opposite. I said it to people who understood and people could relate, and I felt so much better. So, you know, talking about my story and my life, about what happened to me, was really mentally and physically and emotionally healing for me. And it's an interesting story.
So how do you think putting this whole idea together for the book and putting all your thoughts down on paper, how do you think that's changed your life?
It's changed immensely. Because now I'm starting to get, you know, from all the working, all the performing with my band and having this book come out, people are starting to understand where, you know, hey, you know, I made a mistake. I fucked up. And, you know, I had everything in the whole world open for me. I was almost at the top of the entertainment, you know, as big as you can get. And I just threw it away for drugs. And hopefully maybe somebody will read it and it'll help them. Because I wasted 20 years of my life, you know, doing drugs and blaming other people. Like I blamed Slash and Duff and Izzy and Axel for 20 years for letting me down. I believe they let me down. And then once I was able to clear my mind and my spirit, I realized they didn't let me down. I'm the one who let them down. You know, I'm the one who messed up. My job is to play the drums. And the golden rule of drums is to keep the hands clapping and the feet tapping. And I just couldn't do it. You know, I'm going in and out of consciousness. I couldn't do it to the best of my ability. So realizing that it wasn't the devil that let me down, but it was me who let them down, I'm able to, you know, move on. Personally, with this book, what I want to do, well, actually I'm going to do it right after we get off the phone, because now I'm back off tour. I'm going to build a big fire in my fireplace, and I'm going to throw the book in there, and let's leave the past behind and move on to the future. You know, I can't change what happened in the past, but I need to leave it in the past so I can move on and have a future. And maybe in 10 years from now, I'll write another book. But right now, I needed to get all that out of my system and, like, you know, just tell my story. There's a lot of people, you know, who always wonder, you know, how could you get kicked out of Guns N' Roses when we were a well-known band of fuck-ups and doing drugs? But, you know, I took it farther than they did. And it interfered with my life. So that's what happened. And I just needed to tell that. That and doing it, I got a moment of serendipity. It's a sweet, sweet feeling. A sweet sensation.
So what was the process like? I mean, I talked to Lawrence, and he said that a lot of it had to do with him coming and listening to you tell stories and things like that. What was the process like in order to put the book together?
Well, we just make like a breakfast or lunch appointment, and, you know, a meeting, and we go have breakfast or lunch, and we just talk, just like me and you were talking. And that's what makes this book a real easy read. You know, I made sure, you know, that Larry understood that, like, I myself am not a a big book reader. But, you know, it's an interesting story, and I need it for people who aren't big book readers like myself to be able to read it like it's nothing. You know, like it's just a conversation. And so far from what I've been getting, we did me and Larry did a really good job.
How do you feel about the overall reception? I mean, the book's on the New York Times bestsellers list. I mean, did you think it was going to be as successful as it is right now?
Yes, I did. I never doubted. Just like when, you know, Appetite for Destruction and Guns N' Roses, that's when we were a band together, I never doubted it. You can never doubt yourself. If your goal is success and fame and fortune, you can never doubt yourself for one second. Just like GNR and Appetite, I knew we were going to be a huge, great band, and I knew that was going to be a huge, great record. And with this book, I knew it was going to be a good book. You know, because most rock stars who are doing, you know, putting autobiographies out, it's not really that intriguing. You know, hey, they were successful, they did a lot of drugs, and that was that. Me, I started from nothing, became successful, threw everything away, and did drugs, and now I'm, you know, bringing myself back. I'm picking myself back up off the ground, and I started taking drum lessons because I want to be a better player. I took speech lessons because I had a stroke, you know, so I could speak better. And, you know, I'm just doing that. That's more interesting than, oh, big deal, he was successful and he did a lot of drugs and he fucked up in OT a few times. You know, it's a little different. You know, having everything thrown it away and then getting it back. That's interesting. And I'm here to show all the underdogs that you can succeed and survive. All you gotta do is just give a little effort and try. You know, believe in yourself. Don't give up. And if I put 1% of an effort into being successful that I put into doing drugs and getting drugs and doing drugs, I'd be the most richest, most successful person in the world. You know, Donald Trump, that asshole, will be working for me. I'd be telling him he's fired. How's that?
You just mentioned before your drumming abilities. Where do you think those are right now?
Right now, I'm almost to the top of my game. I still have a ways to go. You know, I always want to better myself. But I mean, for 35 years, I didn't even take drum lessons. I never took a lesson. I didn't even know what the hell I was doing. My brain just came out of watching other drummers and from my heart and my soul. You know, it was just all heart and soul, just feeling. And for the love of music. And God damn it, just makes my heart feel so good when I hear those drums. God, I love drums.
Like, in the book you talk about, you know, going to all these clubs and watching people play, and that's how you learned how to play, just watching these great drummers out of nowhere. I mean, would you suggest that to someone that's just, like, starting to play, or would you suggest for them to take lessons like you're doing now?
I suggest both. You gotta watch. I think it's very important to watch other people play so that you get ideas and find your style. But taking lessons, I've improved. Just like the first five lessons I took, I improved so much. It's I'm learning about what the hell I'm doing now. People ask me, you know, what kind of fill is this called? And what did you do on this song? And it's like, I don't fucking know what I did. I just did it because it felt good. But now I'm learning, wait, this is what I did.
Okay. During the course of the book, you profess your love for people like Alice Cooper and also your distaste for people like, you know, Jeff Tate, who you call the castrated falsetto screamer. Is there anybody else, like, in the...
I said that about Jeff. Oh, man, I'm sorry, Jeff. Dude. Oh, man. I was still smoking weed at the time that I was meeting with Larry. I'm sorry, Jeff. Because, I mean, my favorite singer, besides, of course, Freddie Mercury and Steven Tyler and After Rose, is Mimi, the singer from Steelheart. Mm-hmm. And that guy got a voice, you know, from Rockstar.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't what his name, Mark Wahlberg singing. That was my buddy Mimi.
Yeah,
and Mimi's got the greatest voice. He's at the highest and lowest. Mm-hmm. And most beautiful. So if I said that about Jeff Tate, I was stoned.
What I was going to say is there anyone else that you have a lot of respect for that you really didn't give a shout-out to in the book?
Dave Grohl is my new idol. Well, he's been my idol. He went from a huge band. And, you know, for a drummer to go from, to put, you know, put together a band and it gets so huge, and then for something to happen and that band's finished, this guy came out and became a guitar player, from a drummer to a singer guitar player, and is even bigger than Nirvana was. You gotta love that. You gotta look up to that guy, and I do. And Taylor Hawkins, besides Roger Meadows, Taylor from Queens, Taylor Hawkins is my favorite drummer.
Nice. As far as your band, Adler's Appetite, what do you think the future holds for you guys? You guys just stop touring, so you have a little bit of time to catch your breath?
No, we just finished a 55-city tour in 62 days.
Wow.
And we took 2 days off because the last show we played, we did a video for our new single, Alive, and we did it at the Canyon Club out here in L.A., and some girl, some fan, you know, jumped on me to give me a hug, and just like pinched the nerve in my back.
Oh.
And so I was kind of out of commission because of this. I mean, if you're going to pinch your nerve, a girl with big boom and blonde hair, and you know, jumping on you, that's the way to get a pinched nerve. But that just took like 3 days. I'm much better. We're performing at Geneva Lake in Ohio this Saturday. And we're going right back in the studio when we come back. We perform Saturday. We'll be back Sunday. Monday back in the studio. Because we got more songs to put out. You know, I want more product. I'm always going to play the GNR songs that I wrote with you know, with Sasha Duff and Izzy Natural. I'm always going to play them. And my name's on them. And they're great songs. And people love to hear them. But, you know, it's nice that now we got our first single. And people are loving it. And, you know, and we, like I said, last Friday, on September 3rd, we shot a video for the song Live. And hopefully in the next month, we'll have it over on PH1 and, you know, MTV. Just, you know, get that rolling along. But it's nothing but work. I sat around for 20 years doing nothing but drugs. I don't have no more time to sit around. Wasted doing something. I got a lot of catching up to do, baby. Hey, I went to bed at what, 1:30, at 2 o'clock, I think, and I was up at 6 on the phone taking care of business. I need, you know, things. I got to catch up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know, and God, Jesus forbid that this whole Nostradamus thing in 2012 happens. I got to take care of shit now, man. I got to dig around. Yeah. I want to have fun before I go say hi to Jesus and my grandmother, you know?
Yes. As far as your rise to the top the first time is a lot different than, like, you know, your rise back, you know, when you were first rising up, yeah, you, like you said, you came from nothing, and you know, you were a big ladies man, and you know, you were doing the drugs and stuff. But now you're married, you know. Now things are a bit different. How do you think you're handling things differently this time?
Well, I'm enjoying it and appreciating it, and that happens even if the drugs. I didn't do drugs for 20 years. It fucked things up. You still, once you get older, like after the show, when back in the day, in January, when we do it before the show, I have to find somebody to make out with. After the show, I have to find somebody to make out with. Now, before the show, I have to make sure that there's going to be something to eat for me after I get off stage. Okay? I don't care about the pussy. I want to eat a good meal. It's all about the food.
Okay, great.
So all my Al-Anon fans out there, when I do come to your town to perform, please, I need food. Food, please. Good home-cooked food.
Oh, anything in particular that you like to eat?
Lasagna, ribs, oh, God, a pot roast. Oh, I would kill for an awesome pot roast. See, that's what, you just grow older, it keeps changed. You don't care anymore. You know, it used to be, you know, all you wanted to do was fuck, put your dick in something. Now I'm all, just leave me alone and feed me. I'm trying to focus over here on my life, and I'm watching cartoons, I'm watching Family Guy. Don't interrupt me. This is important.
Man, do you have a favorite character on Family Guy?
Oh, of course, Peter Griffin. But I actually, you know, I love Seth MacFarlane. He's a friggin' genius. Mm-hmm. I hope I get to meet that guy one day. But my favorite character is one he does on American Dad, which is Roger the Alien.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
You know, he does that Paul Lynn voice.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Paul Lynn from the 70s?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was a center square. That crossword game, whatever it was, dude. He was the greatest. Hollywood Square. He was center square. Paul Lynn. So I love how he took the Paul Lynn character into the alien. I love it. And of course, Stewie. And Brian's great. And Quagmire is incredible, of course. I love them all. I love them all.
Right. Is there anything else that you want to say about your band or the book or, you know, just how life's been?
Well, the book, you know, life is, ever since I started, like I said in the beginning of this interview, once Dr. Drew Pinsky came into my life and I showed him an effort that I wanted to, you know, get my life back together, he put me under his wing and... You know, just having somebody, like, and Slash, having Slash back in my life, it's so wonderful. So, I mean, it's just so important, you know, to have, like, we just have such a history together. And I know together, you know, we are a force to be reckoned with. And I'm working on it. I'm getting him to realize that. But I'm glad he's a part of my life. Dad, I want Axel and Duff and Izzy. You know, especially Izzy. I miss you. I miss Izzy. I've been, every interview I do, I put a shout out to him to call me or, you know, email my wife. Just please. Those are the greatest guys I ever, you know, Axel gets this bad rap crap. So he maybe made one or two or three or four or ten mistakes. He's done a million wonderful things. And, you know, and people don't, they keep knocking him for the bad things. And, you know, the only thing he doesn't do good is tan. And that's just because he's a ginger. You know, gingers don't tan good. And, you know, he's a wonderful caring. I mean, you can read in my book, how much he was always there for me. And like brothers, in my book, like brothers, we fight. That's what brothers do. Does he have a brother?
Oh, yes, I have a brother.
And what did you do growing up with him? Why did you fight with him?
Oh, yeah.
But you still love him.
Each other. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what we did. We're brothers. And nobody, and no lawyers, and nobody will ever take away the fact that we're brothers and the fact that we made an inspirational record that's still going strong. And it's something, we were, you know, we are still a family of brothers, no matter what. Nobody can take that away. And everybody check out my website, AdlersAppetiteOnline.com. And I got a new thing.
Yeah.
I need everybody to email VH1Classic and demand that they play Guns N' Roses live at the Ritz, 1988, for their live, you know, they have those classic concerts every weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
I want everybody to go out there, to email VH1 and have them put the Guns N' Roses Ritz concert on the classic concert list.
Okay, oh, last
question. I watch all these crappy concerts. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Our Ritz, the show we did at the Ritz in New York, blows all these away.
Yeah.
So let's you know, that's just a shout out to all my fans and all the GNR fans to do that.
As far as like my last question is, how likely do you think a reunion of GNR would be in you know the next couple of years?
Well, you know what? As long as we're alive, it's possible. And I really think if those four goofballs, you know, especially Axel, read my book, maybe they'll realize what a special, you know, thing we have as five guys. Because it's the hardest thing in the world to get four or five guys in a room that can make magic. Yeah, there's millions of great musicians, but you need that special, you know, with that combination, that special ingredient of five different souls that has five different artists that all want the same thing and have the same goal and focus on the same dream. You know, it's just so hard. And no matter what, I know for a fact that if the five of us assholes got in a room together, all we would do is hug each other and there'd be tears. Okay, I know it. That's how it is. And we would sit down, and if we sat behind our instruments, we would write a mega hit song like that. Because that's how we are. We worked off each other. I'm the one who just took that ingredient away. I ruined it for not just for the band, but for all the fans. Because Use Your Illusion, the demo tapes we did, when we would do an Appetite, after we would record a song, we would go into the sound room, to the mixing room, and then play it, and all we would do is look at each other and just smile and say, we're going to have the greatest fucking record ever. This is the greatest song. And when we did the demos for Use Your Illusion, we did the same thing. We were saying, laughing and smiling and hugging each other, going, this is going to be even bigger than Appetite. And it would have been. Civil War is the only song I got to record on the album. I did all the demo tapes, but for the album Use Your Illusion, Civil War is the only song. You hear that song, and when that song's over, you can tell it's a different band.
Yeah.
And those songs were even better than Jungle, Sweet Childline, Paradise City, and Think About You. So, I mean, and those are amazing songs. So imagine having better songs than that. What we did. I screwed it up for the band and the fans. And I would love more than anything if I could just do that whole record over again. Just take all Matt Storm's drum tracks out and put my tracks in the way they're supposed to be. That would rule. For me, the most important part of being able or doing a reunion, the reason I really want to do it is, one, I miss those guys. Two, I want to finish what I started with those assholes. My God. You know, I want to finish what I started.
All right.
And I mean assholes with the ultimate of love and respect.